everyone wants to feel confident and 100% capable of learning novel things. And yet, we seldom allow new pathways of thinking, feeling, and being to lead our experiences. Live into 5D weekly episodes are akin to personal agency microdosing, perking insights that lead to breakthrough action. In today's episode, Gail Swift, founder of the IHA Way, joins host NLP coach educator intuitive energy healer Vicki Oleski. Ms. Swift explores the three main parts of the brain, how they work together to create harmony, and by using a contemplative journey through the body, an individual evolves into becoming the new human. Gail suggests that by having such a practice, we begin to leave behind the cultural memory of survival, war, and duality. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to our guests. Now, let's join Gail in today's episode of Live Into 5D. Here with Gail Swift. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Joy.
We have a hot topic today. And it's one that I love to talk about because it moves. The topic for today's podcast is named Consensus Reality. Gail and I, we had a conversation a week or so ago, and we kind of ended it there, and we wanted to bring it and pick it back up. Gail's going to share with us what that actually means, and then at the end, towards the end, you're going to share the 8 steps of how to work with consensus reality. Is that true?
Yes, because it's biological. It's written, it's a biological journey of coherence with all the beautiful aspects of our nature. So it's 8 steps to waking up our full nature, which is what we're really about. And I also want to share some things that people can read because there's so much information we're dying with. We're dying with too much information, but I want to give some people some books that they can read or some places that they can go because this is a contemplative journey. That's really what the exodus from consensus reality is about, as a contemplative. Who is it that I am?
You brought 2 things up there before we really begin. Journey to what? The information for what? I want to remind people, Live Into 5D, Waking Up Our Nature, is really about coherence with the self and what we're doing here. Befriending ourselves, being kind to ourselves, also living the highest truth of our beingness. So I want to just remind people, like, that's what this is about. Consensus reality, which you're going to speak into. You also brought up some books that you'd like to share. I think that is so important, Gail.
It is. It is. There's so much out there. So let's start with what is consensus and what does that mean? There is so much I want to share. I'm going to put this in as succinct as possible. But consensus reality is really the body of memory, the knowledge that is in our cellular DNA that was originally survival oriented, and we inherited from eons and eons of evolutionary time. So we know that as the three brains. So let's just quickly talk about the three brains because this is what makes up consensus reality. The first brain is a reptilian brain. Now, let me turn you on to a major book, and he does the most beautiful job of this whole kind of beginning conversation, and it's called The Biology of Transcendence by Joseph Chilton Pierce, who's the man who, a beautiful human being, who brought forth HeartMath, and HeartMath is a very big part of how we do this evolutionary journey to the self. So consensus reality is the formation of first our reptilian brain. The reptilian brain is that the cerebrum and so forth, that beginning brain, the top of that. Right, exactly. That is responsible for life, breathing, eating, digesting, all of life. You don't have to think about it. It's what keeps us alive. But it has a quick trigger, survival, kill, be killed. It doesn't have any thought about it. It's not personal. Are you going to eat me? I'm going to run away, or I'm going to get you. Mm-hmm. Then the evolutionary step was into the limbic midbrain, right in the center of our brain. Mm-hmm. And it's called the amygdala, the hippocampus, and all of that emerged as we evolved into tribal consciousness, into collective consciousness, the emotions of familiarity, the emotions of bonding, the emotions it helped us form communities for, again, survival. But it's the emotional brain. The emotional brain is turned toward problems, toward survival, and we've evolved through some very, we've become more sophisticated in our emotional evolution. The third brain, the cerebrum, and the cerebrum is the gift to humanity. It is our thinking brain. Mm-hmm. Those three brains are made or created in utero. We come into the world with those three brains. Those three brains are what creates our consensus reality. We begin to be shaped by our culture, by the values, the laws, the rules. This is how you respond. This is how you are. This is who you are. And we come in unique, with a unique blueprint. But that blueprint also gets worked through our family, through our sisters and brothers, our cousins, our extended family, the culture we're in, and it creates a memory of how you are to respond. So in the first 7 years of life, what you're told of who you are is what we inherit, and it's an intricate web of the three brains, and the cerebrum is now how we think. So that inner mind is all fed by the consensus reality of the rules of our culture. So it's a mindset of evolution. It's a mindset, excuse me, of survival, basically. And go ahead.
Let me ask you here, Gail. So there's three brains.
Yes. That we come into this world with. We're born with this brain network.
So, yes. The cerebrum, right? Is that a combination of the three?
No.
Expressed?
It's the cerebellum.
Right.
Or brain, the reptilian brain. On top of that is the emotional brain.
Uh-huh.
And then on top of that, this brain here, this major cerebrum, is what makes us human, if you will. It's the largest. And as a matter of fact, that's a whole conversation. You can look up Greg Braden when he talks about, actually, there's a lot of conversation about what we're talking about here. And it's very complex, and I'm trying to make it succinct. But we're talking about evolving to the new human, which is using all three of those brain, the brain, the matter. Brain, but we're creating mind consciousness. So we use the mind of consciousness, which is the second thing, which is how do I move into a wakeful, conscious state of witnessing to choose? That's where we begin to turn on the prefrontal lobe. It's the prefrontal lobe that we begin to develop, and it's not fully developed until they say till 35. But those evolutionary steps that we redo are turning on those three brains in the body, in the mind, in the
earlier in the conversation when we were beginning the podcast, you had brought up contemplative.
Right.
Is that part of bringing them together?
Yes. So now when people talk about the spiritual path, they're talking about the whole journey of becoming conscious of being conscious.
Right.
That is now the evolutionary step, because the consensus reality that we're in is we're at a turning point. We can no longer survive on the cultural memory of survival, war, duality, right, wrong, we're good, you're bad, war, fight. We can no longer survive with that memory. So waking up to this moment in time is saying, wow, does that really make sense? Does war ever really solve our problems? Does control and domination, some of the things that we're working through right now, does it blame, judgment, does any of that ever resolve anything? You wake up to this notion of this is insanity. Waking up to, oh my God, things are breaking down. What do I do? Oh my God. All of those feelings are being called to wake up. As long as I stay in consensus reality, I say, I'm right. When I start to say, wait a minute, maybe I'm not right. I go into a state of, I don't know that I don't know. Socrates, the only thing is I know that I don't know. Now we're beginning to wake up to the mind that's ready for new information. New information. And that's when we step on the path of questioning. And I'm going to give you these wonderful six revelatory. There's two things I want to leave you with. The six revelatory paths of waking up. Choiceful waking up is the prefrontal lobe of consciousness. And we feed it.
Before we go there, because we have a little time here. With the information and the disinformation, and we're in the information age, is this part of the breaking away and the opening? Is that some of the new stuff that is come to light? Is that part of, and we're just using words right now.
Yeah. I understand what you're asking, and it's a very good question. We were having a kind of a mini conversation before we started. So Jesus said something amazing. He said, you cannot put new wine in old skins. So if we're still in consensus reality, feeding in new information, it's tainted in the old skin. The old skin is the perception of reality is eat or be eaten, kill or be killed, survival. I got to be right. That whole notion of right and wrong is now more how the control dramas that we live every day. We don't have time to go into that, but I think you all understand the warring of personalities, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have to come to a place where we don't know. And we admit that we don't know. Because when we reach that point of the question, who is it that I am? And how am I made for the world? And I come with an open heart, an open mind. That is the contemplative state of I don't know. And I'm going to begin to listen. Mm-hmm. And that process can take a long time of learning. That's what meditation is really all about, is intended to come into calm abiding, calming the mind, calming the body, calming the emotions, calming the mind to create a space. New skin. That's the new skin for new information to come in. And I start to work with that new information. And now I begin the third path, which is the way. The way is to transcend and include everything that we've ever learned. You don't want to unlearn. You don't all of a sudden one day wake up and never get mad or never get fearful. No, we do. Those are our warning lights. But we don't act from them. Waking up is coming to the challenge and choosing to do it differently. You put your war down and you stand there in open contemplative. You stand there with deep compassion. You don't know. You're not right. I'm not right. We both are. And in that place, what happens, what starts to open up, is the Akashic files of pure potentiality and new information comes in. So it's suspending that moment when we want to fight. Suspend it. Stop it. And that happens through cultivating the witness. And every time we do, we build the prefrontal lobe of consciousness. Consciousness is pure choice. There.
Beautifully, beautifully stated.
Let's put that into a capsule again so people really understand.
Please.
The first step is that we're all in consensus reality. Oh. I just fell into consensus reality. I thought I knew and I thought you were wrong and I was right. What? Consensus reality is every bump in the road that you're conscious to is you as a human being choosing to evolve the new mind. And the new mind is the prefrontal lobe of potentiality, of creativity, of, oh my goodness, I'm facing this thing, which means there's another way beyond war to handle it. Mm-hmm. So I stay in that contemplative, curious state. I teach, when I do classes, I encourage people to find a word that brings them to that state. Isn't that curious? Well, that's interesting. Mine forever was, isn't that curious? So I would use a word to break the automaticity of the consensus reality. Mm-hmm. We're caught in consensus reality, they say at least 90% of the time. 60,000 thoughts go through our mind in a 24-hour period, and 90% of those thoughts are negative. Well, that's just, we don't do that. We don't say that to make it wrong. It's just consensus reality is where we're all at. Until one day, which is why it's very important to have a practice. You have a practice every day, every morning. You wake up and you go, whoa. Today I choose to be a witness. Today I choose to be awake. Today I choose. And once I get into that witnessing state, I then am on the transformational journey. So that's kind of like the three-legged stool, if you will.
Many parts to that I think are great roadmaps, maps, compasses for each of us. What would you say is a, I think actually I'll just jump into this with you. The contemplative arts is as far as meditation.
Yeah.
Say that is a great, most powerful place to begin for people.
No.
Good. Say it. What is it then?
No, because we are bathed in a culture that is so busy. So we're overspent. We're stuck in the outer world. We're stuck in the consensus. Now I'm not saying everybody is, but it's very difficult to go from consensus reality outside materialism, right, wrong, doing it. Remember, there's three things that move us. Wanting to belong. Beloved. So if I don't belong, I'm going to do something to belong. If I don't feel safe, I'm in fear. I'm going to do something to make myself safe. And the third one is, what are the rules? Am I following the rules? And if I do all three of those, I'm safe. Well, I have to sort of bypass all of that and get into the state of now, that potential state of now, to calm my body, to stop being in reactive, because those three cause reactivity. We are overstimulated. So in an overstimulated state, how do you go into meditation? There's got to be a few more steps before we can get into still mind. So the first step, I'll give you the first step of the eight steps. The first one is to establish practices where you come into vagal tone. Look up vagal tone. It's parasympathetic. It's the receptive, calm, receiving state where new information can enter the new wine. But I first have to calm down. My physical body My biological being needs to come into a state that's receptive. Once I'm receptive, I'm calm with the breath. And there's a skill set which I can give people. And the second one is then I can move into my vital body. Only then can I move into my vital body to begin to calm the energetic waves of the emotions. Have you ever been so upset and someone says, oh, just quit? You can't. First, it's evolutionary. First body, then emotion, and then the cerebrum, the mind. Once I calm the waves of all those emotions, and there's where heart math works very well, is to come into calm abiding in my body and my heart. Then I can calm my mind down. Now meditation begins to make sense. So there's a lot of information here, but I strongly encourage people to practice more. Well, this is a big conversation, but I think it's difficult in our culture. Let me just leave it there. I think it's difficult in our culture to go from active to meditation. I think there's some steps in the way.
Here's the thing. We're at the threshold of the Aquarian 21st century. We're stepping
there.
And for many of us, this information that you're speaking said that it's through the body.
Yes.
So when some of us say meditation, it is really using the body.
Yes. Yes.
So again, this is this is the why of you and I talking and the other guests, because it is contemplative. These steps are so key.
They are.
And we need to lead with this vessel.
Yes, it's the jewel in the lotus. And we do it through our sensory system, but becoming conscious of our sensory system.
Yes.
We haven't talked about the Integrative Healing Arts program, but the Integrative Healing Arts is using the sensory system to calm the whole being down, the five-pointed star of who it is that I am in coherence. When the five-pointed star is in coherence, then naturally the whole being opens up to that meditative contemplative state. It's meditative contemplative state is a coherent state. I think this is why we need teachers, actually. Here's the bottom line, is why we need teachers, is to help us to harmonize the five sensory system. And it's beautiful. The five sensory system can be used with touch, breath, smell, sight, taste, harmonizing those five functions in the body brings us into that five-pointed star, the state for meditation and connecting to the higher consciousness, which is the path of transformation, if you will. So the first three steps is beautifully honoring our personality, really honoring who it is that we are. What's my physicality? What's my emotional nature like? And what's my inner story? So it's first, the personality is off. And again, this is not Gail talking. This is the wisdom of many, many, many wonderful teachers who are saying that our basic persona, that egoic persona, that we need a strong ego to be in the world, is made up of our physical nature, our emotional nature, and our mental nature. There you are, reptilian, limbic, and cerebrum. That's our personality. And it's what carries us into the world. So those are the first three states. And I use my skill set to bring that into harmony, into a quiet, abiding state. Then I can enter into what's called the Akashic, the field of pure potentiality. I begin to go, and here's where I admit openly that I know that I don't know, that I'm beginner's mind. Now I'm in beginner's mind. I'm in receptivity. So the fourth state is coming into my DNA of potentiality. What's in my body? what did I bring with me? This is the creative potential that calls all of us. The fifth state then comes when I look at my social, cultural, all my relations, as the Native Americans would say, and I look outside myself and I look at my outer environment from my inner environment and I say, is there a match? Mm-hmm. Am I in right placement? Am I in a place where I can grow and evolve? Because the inner and the outer are expressions of one another. So now I'm beginning to see that I'm a dance from inside and outside. And here's where keeping the opening mind. So there's three mirrors that happen in this social, environmental connection from a place of open contemplative, seeing outside myself. And the three mirrors are, where am I triggered? Where I'm triggered is where I have my own interior work to do. Where do I place judgment and blame? That will come to my door. And that is an absolute announcement and a critical part of rising above consensus reality, actually, is letting my blame go, letting my judgments go. And the third one, which is very important, is where did I give my power away? So I meet my three mirrors, my three shadows, if you will, the shadow work. That's how I see my shadow, is when I'm looking outside in the social, cultural. And we're seeing a lot of that happen today. There's so much of that. The shadow is showing up for all of us. The sixth step now is when I begin to hear what I call the soul, the heart-mind, that place of deep compassion, the three beautiful qualities that live together, which is compassion, forgiveness, and gratitude. And when I'm in that state, it's a state of unconditional love. And in that state of consciousness, the soul consciousness that comes from the heart, I can begin to harmonize the right and left brain hemispheres. And I start to transcend that old story, which is a very difficult story of gender identity, of masculine, feminine, even yin and yang got us all twisted up. They are a mother, father, neutral. You can't live without the polarities of active and passive, receptive and directive. You can't. So my heart understands that. My soul understands it. And I begin to harmonize in my brain. So now you have this trinity of heart and mind. I am now a trinity force turning toward heaven, crown chakra, and I begin to receive information that's new information that's even beyond what I thought I knew.
When you say the trinity, mm-hmm. So it's heart and both sides hemispheres?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's, try not to get too esoteric here, but
no, you know, that's so beautiful.
It is a journey. It's a journey. And here's what's beautiful about this. Here's the transformational journey. We're all born as a five-pointed star, waking up the sixth place, which is the soul. And the soul is able now to connect to the higher consciousness where new insightful, we're no longer problem solving. We're creating, we're co-creating a whole new world. But it's now the five-pointed star becomes the six-pointed star.
Wow.
Because our trinity actually,
right.
However you want to say that, our personality is key.
Yeah.
I want to honor this basic personality because it's full of my potentiality. I drop into four, which is my potentiality. Can't get there unless I have an intact ego, if you will, or an intact personality. Mm-hmm. And I take that higher journey of ascension, heart, coherence.
Right.
Then yeah. I'm able to come to the higher information that wants to come in. And now I'm a vessel of pure potentiality, living in a time when there's a shifting of consciousness. This is the time we're meant to take that self-actualizing journey towards connecting our DNA potentiality with the potentiality that's out there, bringing it in. Sounds a little esoteric. I love, one of my best teachers of all time was Angeles Arian, the late anthropologist, and she'd say, it's the time on the planet to live as a practical human being with mystical feet. Mm. We don't, it's not about transcending and then not coming back in. It's about transcending and coming into that bliss state, that higher sense that just fills us with passion, and bringing that passion back into everyday life and living from there. So we don't live from our lower energies. We live from the higher energies.
That you're saying that's esoteric, but at the same time, I think it's very grounding. One of the things that you had said a couple episodes or a couple conversations ago, we were talking about light workers, and you brought the term in ground workers. I think that that is what we're talking about here.
Also here,
this step is so key into bringing that bridge, not so much, okay, it's the reflection from what's outside of us, but it also in some way starts to restore our connection with our higher self through that
stretch. Yes. Yeah. And here's where we get tripped up. 1 through 4, I think, oh, I got it all together. And then we go to the outer and we go, oh, see, mm-hmm. They don't have it together. I have it together. No. Oh, I still see those parts of myself that are missing. I still see those parts. You know, I've started to really look at some of the things that Jesus tried to teach us 2,000 years ago. Interestingly enough, he was a great teacher of the new mind. Why is it that you want to remove the splinter from your friend's eye and not the plank from your own eye? That's that place where we go, oh, wow, look at that. Look at that. Where does that live inside of me? So you're right. The key here, the key, it's a golden key, is to reach the fifth door. And if I can manage the fifth door from a place of neutrality and equanimity and grace and forgiveness, the Ho'oponopono. I love the Ho'oponopono. That's the fifth door. It says, I am so deeply sorry. It's a prayer about being responsible for, not to.
Oh, wow. That yes. Prayer for yes. Me has yes. Been a turnaround in so many ways. Yes. Also, I have used that prayer, 40-day prayer. It's a prayer, but I do 40 days. I did that with my rescue dog. Mm-hmm. And it was so graceful. It brought so much unconditionality to me about their situation. I love that prayer. I love the how it got embodied, how it got discovered. So thanks so much for bringing that up, Gail. Lastly, so the seventh and eighth step. Did you talked about the yeah. Finality of the right. Alignment.
Right. So the seventh step is the receptive receiving of new information. But that new information needs to come into manifestation. So I receive it. Okay, then what? Now it needs to go through the chakras all the way down into manifestation. In other words, I need to live it. And the eighth step is really... the circle of manifest the whole cycle of creation. Mm-hmm. So I need to bring it from the heavens as above, so below. So I receive it as above, so below. The journey up, which is what the 1 through 7 is so below. I bring myself to And an important part, going back to the fifth state, the fifth state is really about being in a state of grace, holding whatever disharmony I may be holding in myself or out there. Doesn't matter. It's all the same. I can be seeing a lot of anger in the world, or I can be seeing a lot of fear in the world, well, we certainly are. But I hold it from a place of deep grace, and I ask for the energies to transform that energy. There is another beautiful Tonglen. That's what Tonglen is all about.
Yes.
I'm a human being. I'm feeling that fear. I'm feeling that anger, but without judgment. It just is what it is. It's the goddess Sati who says it just is what it is. But I hold it without judgment and ask for prayerfully the transformational energy to change that energy from fear to courage. And there it is. Then I live that through the eighth step, which is being a mystical being with practical feet. You need all eight steps.
How you expressed it, I felt the understanding, the visceral understanding of surrender. And I also could feel my own ego self wanting to come up with the answer. And then you poetically, whatever you were saying, it just made me go, oh, that's that ego self that wants to no, solve it, do it. And when we surrender to, you know, the, I don't know, that's interesting. And the other point that I want to say is that you're a divine being. And also in one moment or two there, I really felt like you were channeling Jean Houston.
Oh, I love that. It's interesting. People have said that to me, and I'm embarrassed to say I've never studied Jean Houston. But so if that's true, I guess what we're saying here is that this information doesn't belong to any one of us. This is transformational information that is in the ethers. It's in the field of pure potentiality. So thank you for saying that. That information is there. I don't own it. I think about it a lot. I've looked into a model, but I don't own it.
Well, I mean, number one, happy birthday to Jean Houston. I think she just celebrated her 85th birthday in the last day or so.
She's a beautiful soul. She's a beautiful, beautiful soul.
And I think it just also spoke to what we were exactly talking about. You know, going, that's interesting. I don't know. Boom.
Yes. And yes, and then we become, I think about the eight Beatitudes or our seven or eight Beatitudes of the Sermon on the Mount. This is what this is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Falling into a state of grace with great humility and humor. Gotta have that humor.
Totally.
Because sometimes all you can do is laugh. Cry too, but there are moments. You know, I love the word moksha, which means liberation, and it's liberation from the stuck places that a personality love to get us in.
So beautiful, so beautiful, Gail. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for the joy. We could go on forever, and I do hope that that those eight steps. Make sense for people to play with it. And we all own those beautiful eight steps.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Be well. Thank you.